Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we're depressed. Of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
Depressing stuff. It is a depressing show. So we will talk about the depressing part of it here in a bit, which has to do with Telltale Games. We also do have other stuff we'll hopefully get to, including a lot of Nintendo news because they had a big Nintendo Direct last week that we missed, and so we're going to catch up on that. And Sony is getting into the retro console game, and so we'll take a look at Sony's retro console and possibly a few other things if we have time. But we're going to be majorly bummed out by the time we get to those things.
Yeah, like, this is one of those shows where I really feel like you need some chocolate or some alcohol or some sort of comfort something. Yeah. Hey, that's something. We need to try that. We need to get some Kahlua and then see if we can make some specialty drinks happen. That sounds like a good thing.
I'm way ahead of you. We used to have a bottle of, like, Godiva liqueur in our house that we did, like, White Russians with Kahlua and vodka, and then add a little bit of that Godiva stuff. It was pretty good.
See?
That would be helpful.
See? we're talking about road trip stuff here.
Right.
That's what that is. We're gonna have some fun.
Yes.
But man, we got a busy week, so let's get to it.
Let's do. I do want to mention before we jump into news, for a couple of things. First, let's get the Patreon guys in here. Maybe the earliest ever. So, good job on us for that. Thanks to Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke for supporting us on Patreon. We appreciate it so much for helping us buy video games and continue to do this show. If you would like to also support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go to GamingUncensored.com right there on the right-hand side near the top of the page. Click that Become a Patron link and support us over there because that would be awesome and help us get through our depression of stuff we're about to talk about.
Give us money. We spend your money on gaming stuff. It's pretty simple.
Or alcohol when Jamie gets here, too.
Or food.
Yes. All of the above, which is fun. So I do want to mention, before we get into depressing news, I've actually played some video games.
Me too!
Nuts!
It's crazy. Freaky!
It's like a whole new world. So you want to talk about what you've been playing? You want me to talk about what I've been playing?
I know what you've been playing because I've been binging on it, and I've taken a couple days break, and so now that I know that you've been playing it more, I think I'm going to pick it back up because last week I went on like a 4-hour binge on a Friday with God of War.
Very nice.
And it was the most glorious 4 hours that I've had in, like, weeks. Like, I just sat there and just reveled in it.
Yeah.
And we talked last show about the Spider-Man and how wonderful that thing is, which, by the way, I watched the Angry Joe review of that, which I love that guy because he's like brutal when he yells and screams and curses and like I he's just fun to watch, and I hate to promote another guy on this show that's much much richer than we are at this point. But he actually really dug it. He gave it a 9 out of 10, which is not something that he does a lot. So I'm really excited about that. However, I mentioned to you that it doesn't matter what Spider-Man does. It can be like the greatest Spider-Man game ever. It ain't gonna touch God of War. Because God of War is dramatic. Like, it's like watching a movie, like going to the theater and watching a movie. That's what God of War is like.
Yeah. They obviously took some hints from Naughty Dog, like, of doing the very cinematic approach. The game, God of War, has been fun and great in the past or whatever, but this one is just completely different in its... in its approach and its presentation, and part of that is that it's very, very much like a movie. It's very, it feels like an Uncharted game in that way, except with God of War combat mechanics and Norse and Greek mythology and all that stuff.
And honestly, I feel like that it does the dramatic better than Uncharted in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it, but I think I would probably agree in that, like, Uncharted is so campy, and this isn't. Like, this is pretty heavy and dense. I mean, it's also, you know, giants and all kinds of ridiculous over-the-top craziness. But the story, like, the heart of the story, this father-son relationship is really heavy. Like, it's a pretty somber story throughout. Whereas Uncharted isn't, even when like Uncharted 4, whichever one it is, where it's with his brother and like it's, you know, like it plays off of that relationship dynamic, but it's still like an Indiana Jones movie, which isn't going to win any awards for high drama. You know, God of War has a lot more of that to it. And so I think I would agree. I think the narrative is better driven in God of War even than
right.
Now, the exception to that is, with Naughty Dog is The Last of Us, which may be right. A good comparison here too. But they both do that very heavy, somber thing very well in a very similar way, this kind of parental relationship kind of thing. So. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It very much matches The Last of Us with that whole Ellie thing and him trying to protect her. Because, spoiler alert, when the kid falls ill, like, I literally, that was like a gasp kind of a thing. Like,
yeah.
Okay, gotta go find the lady. Where's the lady? Because the kid's about to die. Like I was sitting over here going, oh no,
yeah.
That's not good.
And from a gameplay standpoint, because you don't have him with you for that little bit of time, like I also realized how much I utilize Atreus using his like bow and arrow thing and the fact that he can stun enemies momentarily or whatever. Like I was like, oh wow, this is a little bit harder without like your little buddy sidekick alongside, which my biggest fear of the game was it was just going to be hand-holding this AI the whole time that was going to get really annoying. And it has not been that remotely. Like, they struck such a good balance with Atreus and how he as an AI kind of complements you along the game. So much so that when I didn't have him with me, I missed him. I wanted him back. He was useful. Now I don't have that usefulness.
And I was... I'm glad that we went to this. I'm glad that you played games this week because I was going to comment on the fact that when I started my bins last week, I was starting to get the feeling that you were getting overpowered. Okay,
uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, we got to pick this up a little bit. This is, he's getting overpowered. He's mowing down people, and that's cool. But I only want to do that for like 20 minutes. And then you got to like the Valkyrie and some of the other stuff that comes after that. And they're like wiping the floor with you again. And I'm like, yeah, boy.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's such a good point. There was a pretty good moment of time where, like, I didn't die. Like, at the beginning of the game, I died quite a bit. And I really liked the challenge of it. And then there was a pretty good chunk of time where it had gotten really easy that I felt overpowered. And then I ran into that Valkyrie, which was such a fun fight. It took me so many times just to learn the pattern and all that kind of stuff with it. It was a good, good fight. That may be my favorite fight in the game so far, even though it wasn't like the big, massive monster kind of fight.
And even when you learn the pattern, like the Valkyrie still, I was like, there was a couple times in there I'm like, dude's still gonna get mowed down.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a good, honest, challenging fight. And now it's kind of, I feel like there's a good balance of, for the most part, I'm still kind of mowing through, like, the peon enemies or whatever, you know, just the little minions that pop up. But there was a fight I did just yesterday that took me 3 or 4 times to beat this dude, you know, and that feels like a good balance. Like, again, I had to learn this pattern. I had to figure out, okay, what can I block? What can't I block? What is the timing of these things or whatever, that it wasn't just button mashing. Like, I have to be strategic with that combat, which is different than God of War in the past. For me, God of War was always combat-wise just a bunch of button mashing, and I could pretty much do what I wanted. This one, like, you start button mashing, and if it's the right enemy, like, they just laugh at you, you know, and you gotta go, oh, right, let me figure out what I've actually got to do here. And so it's a really good balance on difficulty.
And I love the fact that you got the head on the side there going, you really need to get some health.
He's my favorite part of the game. So random that you just got this random head strapped to you for a good chunk of the game that's just commentating the whole time. But he's hilarious and a very good character. And so, yeah, I dig that a lot. So the game's fantastic. I mean, we've said that all the way through, and it's not ceased to be fantastic. So I dig that. I'll also mention I played another game, believe it or not, which is nuts. I finally played through The Adventures of Captain Spirit, which is
super short, I'm excited,
but it's very good. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It very much feels like the other games. It sets up the sequel well. It both, like, so you play as this kid that, like, thinks he has powers, but, like, the whole time, like, is always, like, it's just pretend, like, you're kind of in his imagination. But at the same time, it's dealing with this super heavy story of loss and, like, an abusive father, and, like, but in a way that makes you think and feel. And there was one moment in the game that just, like, ripped my heart out, you know, which Life is Strange is already emotional in its approach. This one, like, one moment in particular, like, was the most emotional part of either that or the first game. I haven't played Before the Storm, but with the first game or that. And the first game, like, had some pretty emotional moments in it, but there was just one part in this that just ripped me apart. The whole thing you can get done in, like, an hour or so. Like, it's pretty short, but it's free, and so, I mean, why not? And that character that you play, I can't remember his name, but that kid apparently is going to be in Life is Strange 2, which I'm excited about to see what they do with the rest of that story, because it kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger.
Well, and the thing, I think I mentioned last week, I finished the first episode of Before the Storm, and I'm actually going to pick it or something else back up after the show's over. But I feel like, again, talking about games that do dramatic well, that's what sells those games. There's nothing else really to those games other than the story.
Yes.
And I wish they were a little less after school specialist.
Yes.
But that's other than that, like, they're fantastic.
Yep. I wholeheartedly agree. Anything else you've been playing?
I started, and you'll get a kick out of this, because for a show, I'm like, I got this game, which I bought, and actually the show bought. Thank you, Patreon guys. And I need to fire it up and play a little bit of it. And that game is Star Trader. And I got it. Okay, you played Heat Signature for a little while there. You put, what, 10 hours into that?
Sure, something like that.
This is Heat Signature on steroids. Like, think about Heat Signature with lots and lots and lots of numbers and stats and leveling and, like different things. Like, I fired the game up. I decided what I was going to make my character and just started playing. And I made one move on the map. And, like, there's this scrolling thing on the side that said that I failed, like, 4 tests because I didn't prep appropriately, okay? And so the segment that we had about this game, he said that he didn't really, like, watch any YouTubes or do anything like that to get ready for it. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to have to do a research and go back because there's so much stuff going on here as far as the stuff you have to manage. Like, I can already tell if I just keep playing, I'm going to burn really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot going on. And with Heat Signature, it was basically you chose a guy and took that guy out. And each guy had different, like, abilities. Am I quoting that
close,
correctly?
Generally. They each had, like, their own weapons or whatever, their own kind of specialization, but it all came down to gear.
Right. So this one, you have yourself and an entire crew that you level up. So that one move that I made, that it was like you failed all this stuff, it was because I didn't take the time to, at the very, very start of the game, to spec out my crew and get them doing what they needed to be doing to fly the ship. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun, but I think it's going to take time, like the segment was talking about. I think you're going to sink a ton of time into this thing. And you got to, like, it's very RPG-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of RPG stuff in here. There's maybe even probably more stats than I'm gonna like, and it has, like, a lot of this stuff you can do auto, but the gamer in me is like, I'm not doing that,
right?
So we're gonna have to strike a balance, but I think it's gonna end up being a really good game. I think this is all about gameplay, and I mean, because I think there's a story there, but it's all in text.
Yeah.
And so I think this is all about gameplay, which is what the deal was with Heat Signature, if I remember right.
Absolutely. Yeah, story was next to no part of that game, which I was perfectly fine with because the gameplay was really fun. But, yeah.
So you need to check that out if you get a chance to download that. I think you will enjoy that.
Yeah, I do need to do that. Thanks to Jacob for pointing us in that direction with the segment a couple weeks ago. By the way, we do have a segment from Zeke sitting in the queue. We're not going to get to it today. We'll get it on the next show, hopefully. We just have a lot to get through today.
Right.
So we jump in to the sadness.
Do we have to? Like, I really feel like,
if we don't talk about it, maybe it won't be true.
Yeah. Yeah. if we just avoid it, maybe it didn't happen.
Yeah, I like that thought. But I don't think that's how it works. So the epically sad news is Telltale Games is shutting down.
What?
Telltale is shutting down. And like right now.
And we just bought one of their games.
Yeah. So as of yesterday, day before, so we're recording this on Saturday, they had laid off 90% of their staff, which was about 200-some people, which is already heartbreaking, and hopefully those people go and get good jobs in the industry still. But laid off almost all of their staff, kept just a skeleton crew behind to finish up a few things that they're working on, which doesn't include a couple of games that we knew were coming, which are now officially canceled, which is The Wolf Among Us 2, which is, devastating. And they were working on a Stranger Things game, which I don't even remember if we talked about. It didn't ring a bell.
We did for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, and I love Stranger Things, and Telltale, if anybody could have done that well, but not anymore. But even more crazy to me, it doesn't appear that they're going to finish the final season of The Walking Dead, which the first episode's already out, and it doesn't look like they're going to complete it. Like that's the like immediacy of this shutdown is they're not even going to release the rest of this game that they've already started episodically releasing, which blows my mind.
I really hope, at least for The Walking Dead, that it becomes a Steam community thing. Like, I really hope that somebody picks it up and finishes it.
Yeah.
And that, because I've been trying to figure out for 2 days why this would happen. And in the story that you have in the show notes, it references some potential mismanagement, and we don't know what that is. We don't know what happened.
Sure.
We have no idea, and I don't even really want to speculate because, you know, if some of the things that are in my brain, if those happen, that's really not good. That's the only thing that I could think of that would just make you stop what you're doing cold and be like, yeah, we gotta go.
Yeah.
Because they just don't have the money to pay their people. And that being said, this is what I loved about this story. If there's a silver lining in all of this, everybody got severance. And they got severance throughout the end of the year. And it wasn't like they made a point in the story to point out that people were not escorted from the office.
Yeah.
Like the whatever is happening here is not done vengefully. But man, it's still awful.
It is a super bummer because, admittedly, because we talk about Telltale a lot on the show, we like their games. Like The Walking Dead from Telltale is one of my favorite franchises. The first season of The Walking Dead is just phenomenally well done, and then The Wolf Among Us was fantastic.
And Back to the Future.
Do what?
Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future was good. I forgot they even did the Back to the Future game. That was fun. And they've had stuff that wasn't as good. They did a Jurassic Park one that apparently wasn't good. They did a Game of Thrones one that wasn't good. And from all I've, because again, this hit me by surprise. I wouldn't be surprised to hear Telltale has some financial struggles. Okay, that makes sense. Especially smaller studio probably does. But to hear they fired 90% of staff and are, you know, closing up shop. Other than apparently this small group that's left behind is working on the Minecraft game a little bit and something that they had set up for Netflix. I don't know, but whatever. The bulk of what they do, they're not doing anymore. The best explanation that I've kind of seen, or the best theory about what happened broadly, macro level, that they just grew really fast, like with The Walking Dead specifically, like they just became a really big deal and then had the ability to do a lot of different projects. And so they did and just weren't able to scale up with all these new things that they were doing with hiring on new people or whatever. And how that happened, like you said, we don't need to get into it. It doesn't really matter. But what I hope, and I'm hoping on the next show that we get to be talk about Telltale first again, in that some bigger studio picked them up. You know, like that somebody swoops in, EA or Microsoft or whoever, and says, you know,
hello, what, Sony. Not that I want that to happen, but sure, this is what Sony whoever. Does.
Yeah, I don't care who it is, but just somebody out there that has resources that could maybe put in a better system of management, but keep these franchises going that are beloved and have loyal fan bases. I mean, The Wolf Among Us and The Walking Dead have massively, and not to mention the Tales from the Borderlands, like the Borderlands thing that Telltale right. was a big deal, and just on and on. And so, I would love to see somebody swoop in. I was kind of hoping it would happen before we did this show today, that we'd be able to be like, good news. But it has not happened yet. And I don't know that it will. It's probably unlikely that it will. But as somebody who loves their games, that's my best hope at this point,
well,
to see them keep going.
And I think part of the problem is that we love their games. There's lots of people that love their games, but there's, and it was even referenced in this story, there's a whole massive crowd of people out there that never touched them. Like I could ask the guys that I work with specifically, have you played this? Nope. Like, it's just not on their radar. And it's because they are simpler story-driven games. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
And especially for the millennial group that is coming up now, they're just not into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a niche thing. They're a specific type of game, and if what you play is Madden and Call of Duty, which I know lots of people, or Destiny or whatever, these may not be in your wheelhouse, and that's perfectly fine. It's still, though, like, because they're small and niche and yet have this dedicated fan base, like, I would hope that somebody can see a way to make money out of this. You know, like somebody can see how to make this profitable, even if they're not going to be AAA selling games. They're not going to be that, but they can be profitable.
This is a Kickstarter waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Like I'm surprised somebody hasn't already thought about this, especially for, you could do a Kickstarter for a specific game. You could do a Kickstarter for The Walking Dead to get those people back to finish
just finish.
Yeah.
How heartbreaking is it that it's the final season of The Walking Dead? Like, this is where it ends. Like, they're already bringing this story to a close, and then they can't finish it. Like, they're this close to bringing this, like, big kind of epic franchise, the most epic franchise that they have, really. And they just can't get there. Like, they just can't finish. It just blows my mind. I can't believe that's the part that I'm like, there's got to be something else going on here, because, like, how can you not at least finish the game that you're currently distributing? Like, you got to be able to at least get that much done for the people who've already paid for it. You know, like, a lot of people have already paid for the whole season of the final season of The Walking Dead. And just, yeah. By the way, let me mention this. I don't think that part of this is confirmed from Telltale yet. Like, that's according to sources, but I don't know that that's confirmed from actual Telltale management that they're not completing The Walking Dead. So there's still a chance that happens, and I sincerely hope it does. I'm still incredibly disappointed that The Wolf Among Us 2 isn't going to happen, because I love The Wolf Among Us. But there's still a slight hope that that maybe the Walking Dead season gets finalized.
I don't see it. Not with 25 people.
I know. It's just a matter. I don't know what was left to do. You know, like that's the question to me is like, what did you have left to finish on it? Like, if you're already releasing it, it doesn't seem like there could be that much more to do to put it out. Like, surely you've got the bulk of the work done for it, and it was just putting it together. There's, I know, a much more technical way to say that, but it seems like a skeleton crew could finish putting that game out, because you would think the bulk of the work as far as assets and all the materials are put together or whatever. Who knows?
But you think about it, and I think it's probably, from a worth it standpoint, it's probably not worth it. Because at best, they're getting $25. At best.
And it obviously isn't saving the studio. Like, like that's right. Done. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
It just, so, like, that part to me as a fan, like, doesn't matter at this point. But that part to me as a fan is really disappointing. The whole thing of them shutting down is disappointing, obviously. But specifically, that feels like a little bit of a betrayal. Doesn't matter. They're going away. So it's not like I can just choose to boycott them or whatever, you know. But it's just a bummer. Like, that part just, like, of everything about it, that's a bummer. That's the biggest bummer to me.
And that
I was super looking forward to it.
That's what happens in this industry. I mean, I think about companies that were huge back in the day that just aren't around anymore.
Yeah, or shells of themselves.
Like, I mean, for crying out loud, Midway was huge.
Midway.
Yes. Midway was huge.
Yeah.
And there was other ones that just, they were everywhere, and now they're not.
Yeah.
And I think to sort of transition into another story that we have on the show notes, because I want your 2 cents on this. I'm going to try and do this in a way to like shift us out of this, but I'm really worried about this. I don't know about your 2 cents, but Sony is doing the mini console thing. They're doing the mini PS1. And I see that, and I realize that, you know, it's Sony. They're a much bigger company. They have lots more to work with. But they're also very much in debt as well. And I see something like these mini consoles, and it's like, dudes, really? Like, my thing with this is, and I'm not trying to equate this to the Telltale thing, because Sony's not going anywhere, but how many people do you think are actually going to buy these mini PS1s?
let me contradict you? I don't know if I contradict you, because I'm with you, and I'm not excited about the PlayStation Classic.
No!
But this is, I think we're in the minority on that, because on both my Twitter, following several gaming publications and whatever, and on my personal Facebook, where it's just people I know, I expressed like my not desire for this thing, and I am the only person that I've seen do that. That everybody else that I've seen mention this is like, so cool, I'm pumped. And I think it's because, especially for my Facebook, so many of my friends on Facebook are younger than me. They're students I've had or people I've ran into through my work, many of whom at this point are 10 or 15 years younger than me, or getting to be quite a bit younger than me. And they don't have nostalgia about the NES the same way I have nostalgia about the NES, but they strangely have nostalgia about the PlayStation. And I do too, like Metal Gear Solid and Final Fantasy VII, and like I loved PlayStation games. But I just don't think they hold up well. I just can't picture myself playing them.
And here's the thing, is that they're unlike the Nintendo stuff, and then we can argue this in a second, but unlike the Nintendo stuff, all of these games are already available and have been for years on whatever PlayStation console you want to play them on. Like, they're downloadable. They're there. Like, Sony has a service dedicated to this.
Right.
Like, that's all that service does.
Yeah. But let's be clear. What the selling point of these retro consoles is that it's a mini hardware version of that thing you used to have in your house. You know? Because it's the same thing with Nintendo. You can go get those games lots of different places without paying for them pretty easily, as we've talked about in the past on this show. If you want to go play Mario 3, there's plenty of ways you can go play Mario 3 really, really easily. Now, even including on the Switch, which is awesome, and we'll have to bring that up here in just a second. These games are not quite as accessible as the Nintendo games, just because I don't feel like there's been the same hype for emulation for original PlayStation content that there has been for NES and SNES stuff. But Final Fantasy VII, you can get lots of places. That's one of the games that they've announced. So the games they've announced, let me mention those really quick. Final Fantasy VII, Tekken 3, Ridge Racer Type 4, Ridge Racer, Jumping Flash, and Wild Arms, and then they say more to be announced, and so we'll see what other games that they have. I don't remember Jumping Flash at all. I don't know
what that is. I don't either. No.
I remember Ridge Racer. I was never into Ridge Racer, really. I remember Tekken, but like, I don't have any like connection to Tekken 3. I remember Wild Arms. That's cool. And of course, Final Fantasy VII's amazing. But also in the show, you will be able to soon get Final Fantasy VII on your Switch or your Xbox One. You can already get it on your PC. There's a PlayStation Classic version of it, I think, out there. Like, already, like, if I want to play Final Fantasy VII, I've got lots of places to play Final Fantasy VII. And I don't want to play the original Final Fantasy VII again at this point in my life. I love it, and I've played through it several times. But I want to play the remake of Final Fantasy VII.
I was
going to
say, next time we play it, it'll be the remake.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, yeah, I don't have the same hype about this. And everybody, let me also say this, everybody that I've seen, like, excited about the console, I haven't seen them talk about any of the games. They're just excited about this, you know, little box that looks like an original PlayStation, but is, like, a lot smaller and is cute and whatever. By the way, aesthetically, I don't even think the original PlayStation was that attractive of a console. So,
and
the NES and SNES, to be fair, weren't either. But for me, they're more nostalgic because that's what I had in my house when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. I never had a PlayStation in my house personally, but my buddy did, and I had an N64. And so I essentially had access to a PlayStation anytime I wanted to. And it was fine, but I don't have this same level of nostalgia about it from when I was 14, 15, or 16, whenever the PlayStation was a big deal. I love it. I played so many games on it that are fantastic, but I don't want to go back and play them in their original format on the PlayStation.
I had one, and I went and bought one, and I remember the nostalgia of going to GameStop in the mall, and I don't even know that it was GameStop at that point.
Right.
I don't remember what the store was, but I remember seeing those games and how awesome they were and whatnot. But I don't need that in my house. And back to the Telltale thing, people were probably thinking, "What was he trying to do there?"
This is a
move from a management perspective that I don't really get.
That's like the part I disagree with you on. I think it's brilliant for Sony. I think they're going to sell a crap ton of these things. It's $100 for the console. Again, I've seen nothing except excitement about it. But I think that's you and me. I don't think that's the general sentiment overall. Like, I think it's a really wise move. It's them copying Nintendo straight up again.
Again.
But Nintendo's been incredibly successful with it, and I think they will be too.
Yeah, and you're probably right. And they have bigger problems, like not sharing tech and not doing saves and all the weird stuff that Sony does. And they have other issues.
Yeah.
But the point I was trying to make is that management in a company is a big deal. Like, management in any game company anywhere is a big deal. And if you're Sony, you can afford to make more mistakes. But it's like we said with the PlayStation 3, it took them a long time to crawl out of that hole after making that mistake.
Yeah.
And
which, that's fair. I just don't think this is in that boat.
No,
this
it's not.
This is
it's
a good idea. I think that's going to pay huge dividends for them. It's going to cost them very little. By the way, I want to mention on Twitter, our boy Luis responded to me saying that this didn't excite me. And he said, I'm the opposite. I'm more excited about this. And he already owns all the Nintendo Minis. And he said, I'll admit, I don't play old games. I tried and couldn't get back to them. I just like them for the nostalgia. I think that's a lot of people. Like, I think there's just something cool and nostalgic that people like about it. That doesn't really matter about all the games. You play the games for a little bit, and that's cool. And then, like, you got this cool little console that's sitting
it's
on your
in
shelf
your and, house on the shelf. And yeah. Oh, look what I got.
Exactly. And it's and cute, and that's cool. I just, I'm not as into that side of things. And even then, I'm much more into it with the Nintendo consoles than the PlayStation, because those are more nostalgic to me, mostly because of age. I think that's really what it boils down to. I think that's the common thread that I'm seeing about people that disagree with me on this, is that they're younger than I am.
I think it's kind of the loot crate mentality. Like, I don't understand the concept of loot crates.
Sure.
And somebody at work said it, because we have a guy in the office that gets a loot crate every month. And the shirts are great, and the other stuff is great. But after you get, like, six little loot crates, you've just got crap in your house. Right. And you've got to find some place to put it, you know? And one of the guys I work said, you know, I really like the loot crate, but I only have so much room in my house for crap. And you've seen my room. I've got crap. Right. Like, so I think it's that kind of a thing. Like, they want to go buy this thing and have it on the shelf, and I don't need that.
Yeah.
I
agree with you there. By the way, transitioning over to Nintendo, because we need to talk about Nintendo stuff too, see if we get to much else. But the Nintendo Switch Online service is now available, and part of Nintendo Switch Online is the kind of classic console for NES games on the Switch, which is $20 for a year, and that's a part of it. Also, online gameplay and everything else that goes along, cloud saves for most games, as we talked about before. And on and on. The game, so that we already knew 10 of them that were coming, and we had talked about those before. They added 10 more for launch, which includes Excitebike and Tecmo Bowl, which I was pretty pumped about. And River City Ransom. I've played all three of those on my Switch already, by the way. Just like, oh, man, these are great. And so Tecmo Bowl's way harder than I remembered it. It's been a long time since I played Tecmo Bowl. So. And coming, they already announced some that will be coming in the next couple of months. The NES Open Tournament Golf, which was a good golf sim, like, way back in the day. Super Dodgeball. October is bringing the original Metroid, so I'm pretty pumped about that one. Ninja Gaiden is coming in November, which is pretty cool. And so, like, some legit cool games there.
And all of those are available as part of your subscription, correct?
All of those are part of your subscription, yep. So
that's awesome.
You don't have to pay any more for it. So what we were talking about, the ROM stuff a few shows back, where they need to make it easy to have access to that content. Here they are making it easy to have access to that content. So kudos to them. By the way, one of the stories I'm sure we won't get to, but it's in the show notes, it's also already been hacked. And so the system that they use to emulate these games on the Switch, somebody figured out how to hack them and load their own NES ROMs in so you could play other games on your Switch if you so desire, which I just love. It just is so appropriate. So of course it's already been hacked. Good job, guys. Other news, though, from this Nintendo Direct that happened now about a week and a half ago, that was pretty big. Lots of stuff came out of it. I mentioned that Final Fantasy VII is coming to the Switch, also coming to Xbox One. All of these Final Fantasy games, 7, 9, 10, and 10-2, and then 12 with something I don't remember. Notably, 8 isn't included in this for whatever reason. I'm not sure why Final Fantasy 8 isn't one of these Final Fantasy package games. But if there's any of those Final Fantasy games you want to play again, they're coming both to the Switch and to the Xbox, which seems like a relatively big deal. I want to say most of them are already on the PlayStation in some form.
Well, they're I was going to say they've all been on Steam for a while. So
yes, they're all on the PC as well. So
to me, this is like Microsoft was like, oh crap, we have nothing. We need to do something. because I saw the greatest meme yesterday, and the only reason I saw it is because my buddy Jeffrey got a new phone, and he had like battery problems with his old phone, and so he wasn't really ever able to be on it while he worked, but now he has his new phone with his great battery, and he's constantly on Reddit. And I saw this great meme of, like, here's Sony and all the exclusives that they've got. And then the bottom half of the meme is this dude wearing an Xbox cap just crying because they have nothing, you know. And that's sort of how I feel about this. Like, Microsoft's like, oh, crap, we got to do something. So they did that, and those have already been available multiple places.
There's that. It's just, if you don't have a PlayStation or a PC or whatever, now you've got other places to get to these Final Fantasy. I don't think they're going to be huge sellers, but still relevant that you can play Final Fantasy VII on the Switch. That's pretty cool. I won't go back and play it. I might go back and play it on the Switch, not on the PlayStation Classic. On the Switch, it might be worth doing.
Here's the difference, and I was going to bring this up after watching that direct. The reason that it will be worth doing on the Switch, and the reason all of these other RPGs are going to be great on the Switch, and because of this direct, the Switch, for me, is now becoming the RPG console.
Yeah.
And the reason that they're going to be great is because you can take them wherever you want.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. That's the selling point of so many of these games on the Switch, is that you have that flexibility with them. Some other bits of news that came out of this, again, there was a bunch. There's an Ultimate, a Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Nintendo Switch console that has, like, a little images, graphics on it. That's cool if you're into Super Smash Bros. Apparently, there's a big tournament happening this week in Fort Worth, so close by me. Some of my students were trying to get me to go to. I was like, one, I have a baby. Two, you don't understand how bad I am at Super Smash Brothers. You don't want me to come with you to a tournament to do anything other than like cheer you on, because I am terrible. I like it, but I am terrible. So, there's a new Animal Cross coming next year, which seems like a big deal. Do you get Animal Crossing? Animal Crossing isn't my thing, but it feels like a very Nintendo thing, and it has a huge fan base.
It's like a Harvest Moon kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It's like a Harvest Moon or
meets Pokemon in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks fine. It's a big deal, and I've never gotten quite why it's a big deal. The same way that Pokemon's a big deal. I get more why Pokemon's a big deal, but it's not my thing. Whatever, but people are really excited about it, so that's cool. City Skyline is coming to the Switch, which is a great city builder. I played it quite a bit on PC and really enjoyed it. The classic NES controllers, I need to mention this one because it's entertaining. You can get a pair of NES controllers that are a little bit smaller. At least it looks like they're a little smaller than a standard NES controller, but like the like gray hideous NES controllers that like dock onto the side of the Switch like the Joy-Cons do to charge, and so they look super ridiculous and cheesy. You can get a pair of those for $60, which is nuts. And this caveat, they only work with the NES games, the virtual console games. You can't use them for other stuff, which to me was a big bummer. Like, if I'm going to buy those, I want to be able to use them with whatever I want to play on there. So, whatever. I don't get those, but again, it's that nostalgia thing. That
all digital, baby, all digital. That's why that's not working.
Yeah, that's fair. But still, just don't get it. It's ridiculous. So, new Super Smash Bros. U is coming to the Switch, which is exciting to me. One of the things I like that the Switch has done is like essentially re-released a lot of the Wii U stuff that obviously didn't get that big of a market share because the Wii U didn't have a very large market share. And now that the Switch is huge, there's a bunch of games that were on the Wii U that I would have liked to play. Mario Kart was a good example of this, that they're just re-releasing it with some added features and letting me play it on the Switch. And so I love these new Super Mario Bros. Games, these 2D side-scrolling, but like fun, interesting platformers that they've done over the past several years. And so I'm excited to see this on the Switch. I think this will be a really fun one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Another one that I don't know if you have listed there that caught my eye was Mega Man, new Mega Man.
Yes, Mega Man 11, which looks really good.
It's like I saw it and I was like, and I'm not ever said this about the other ones, the other like seven.
Right.
Because I stopped playing it like Mega Man 3. But I saw that and I was like, dude, gotta play that.
Yeah.
It looks like Mega Man.
It was a good time to bring it up because it feels kind of like the Mega Man version of those new Super Mario Bros. Games. That it's classic, yet has the modern feel to it in a lot of ways. And apparently from people who have played it, they just say it plays phenomenally well. Like it feels like Mega Man, and that is one of those games of my youth that I love that I've not picked up in my adult life really ever, but would love to pick up again. And this may give me a good reason to do that. So. There's a Luigi's Mansion game coming. There's Katamari Damacy is coming. A Switch version of Katamari Damacy is coming, and so I'm pretty pumped about that as a game that I love that's super random and ridiculous. There's more stuff. I'm trying to like see what I miss. I know I miss stuff. It was a really dense Nintendo.
Lots,
a lot of
lots
times
and lots,
kind of like,
lots and lots of RPGs.
Yeah. You're absolutely RPGs. Right. They are making themselves the RPG destination, which is cool. I dig that. I have a Switch, and I love RPGs, so nothing wrong there. So, quickly, a few other things to wrap up with. A few bits of Sony news. PlayStation Now, their streaming service, is adding a download functionality for a lot of its games, which is great, and is very similar to what Microsoft's Play Now, whatever, I can't remember what their service is called, but their similar service lets you download now Sony's PlayStation Now will as well, so you have the option to either stream games or to download them and play them locally as part of your subscription to PlayStation Now, which seems wise. I dig it.
Good on those guys. I like that idea.
You just have to have space on your system to download stuff, which is my ever constant struggle now. Man, I don't have hard drive space left on my my PlayStation, which is brutal. So, Red Dead is coming. Speaking of eating up hard drive space on my PlayStation, Red Dead is coming next month in October, which I'm pretty pumped about. Red Dead Online will be coming in November. We'll have a beta that's starting, I believe, in the end of October. But the full Red Dead Online experience is sometime in November, which, if I remember correctly, was the same thing they did with Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, and then it was a little bit later, but pretty quick that Grand Theft Auto Online came out. And say what you will about online stuff, and you and I are not big on online stuff, but Grand Theft Auto Online has been a massive success for Rockstar, and so I would imagine that the Red Dead Online is probably going to be a pretty big deal, too.
Yeah, it's going to be huge, because it's that Western thing, you know?
And I think the world's ready for it, so I just hope the single-player game is good. I'm pretty sure it will be. But I hope they don't screw it up. I hope they're not taking resources away from the game to make the online good. I feel like with Grand Theft Auto, they didn't know that the online was going to be a big deal. And so I played the online of Grand Theft Auto way back when it first came out, and it was kind of like, eh, okay, this is interesting, but I haven't picked it back up, and it's like a completely different experience now than it was 4 years ago or whenever that came out. I feel like Red Dead runs the risk of being the opposite, in that they know that the online is going to be a big deal, and so they may overcompensate for working on the online stuff, and hopefully won't, but could not do as much as they could towards the single-player campaign. Hope not, but I could see that as a possibility.
Common sense, boys. Common sense.
I hope so. And then one last thing, we'll get into releases. this is potentially exciting. I like the idea of this. I hope the execution is good. There's reportedly an animated version of Diablo coming to Netflix.
That's not going to be good.
I just want to see Deckard Cain so bad. I don't know what they're gonna do with
this
thing.
That's the only good thing in the whole thing. Like, if you give me a good Deckard Cain, okay, cool.
Yeah, thing with Diablo is like it's never been a game about the story. It's like that exception in the RPG world for us where it's super fun and we love the franchise in spite of the story. Like the story just isn't a big deal. Which makes it hard to pull off a TV show or whatever.
We forgot to mention it, and this actually made me perk up. I can't believe it, because I played a ton, and we didn't really talk that much about it. But Diablo 3 is coming to Switch.
Yeah.
And we had our reservations about Diablo 3, and it was all right, and I enjoyed it. I still go back to it, but the fact that Diablo 3 is now mobile is a huge deal.
Yeah, I think it will be for some people. I can't imagine myself ever playing a Diablo game not on PC. You know, like it's just that game is a PC control game to me. It's mouse clicking around, and I've never played Diablo on a console, and the other Diablo games have been on consoles, including Diablo 3. Yeah, it's great for Nintendo. I don't think it's going to be a huge seller, but it's another one of those RPGs. I just don't think of Diablo as working on consoles at all.
I don't think it does either, and I totally agree with you, but you know, like the people that are buying the mini PlayStations be all over that.
That's fair. I won't argue there. Quickly with releases, because there's not a ton from this past week or this upcoming week, but FIFA 19 is the big thing that's coming out on the 25th, so coming soon, and getting mid-80s kind of scores on Metacritic, which is good, I suppose. So there's that. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that stands out to me as like, oh yeah, we should talk about that, and there's really not. Shadow of the Tomb Raider came out, but I think we hit that on the last show that was coming.
We did, yes.
A bunch of cool-looking stuff on Steam that I don't know anything about, that go check it out if you want. Like Star Control Origins? Well, it looks interesting, but I don't like it. Yeah, I don't know. But there's a lot of kind of random indie-ish stuff that's out, but no big AAA things I would recognize. There is one on the Steam new releases that I don't know what to make of it, called Super Seducer 2. Which the fact that there's a Super Seducer 1 kind of blows my mind already, but Super Seducer 2 is out, and it's apparently like video, like I don't know if it's like a point and click. I'm just looking at the screenshots tick by right now. But it's not CG. It's live video, and there's just a screenshot of like a dude checking out a chick while she's bending over to pick up something. And I don't know what this game is, and it
okay.
terrifies me. But it has very positive reviews. So there you go.
Okay, so quick sidebar, and we don't have time because we're only an hour. But quick sidebar, somehow. I can't believe I'm going to tell the story. We had a guy come in and to get his computer fixed. And he was like, while he's standing there, he's like, so I'm thinking about getting Skyrim on the PC. I'm like, yeah, that'd be a good thing. And he's like, reason I'm doing it is because I had to go get the British version of Skyrim for the consoles, because the American version doesn't have all the nudity. Right? And this is like a 60-some-odd-year-old man, right?
What nudity does the British version of Skyrim have?
I don't know! Like,
I missed some. Well, I guess I played the American version, so I missed
that. And so he's like, there's not those restrictions with the British version of Skyrim. And I'm trying to figure out what he's talking about, because I'm like, dude, it's the same game. Right. But it came out that he's playing it on console, and there might be some... I don't know. But after he left, I was talking with my buddy, Jeffrey, that is a huge Skyrim guy. And he's one of those Skyrim guys that plays Skyrim to make it hard. Uh-huh. Like, he has mods that make Skyrim so cold that if you don't, like, camp every so often, you just freeze to death.
Cool. Like,
Jeffrey is that guy. Like, he wants it to be as hard as possible. And so we're talking about this when this guy walks out. And he's like, yeah, if you look on Nexus, there are a ton of, like, porn mods for Skyrim. And they are the top-rated, like mods,
yeah,
for Skyrim. I never looked. I never had any desire to look. Now I'm afraid to go look. And so the fact that you brought up Super Seducer 2, like, I'm really worried about a very niche population of gamers out there. I really am.
Yeah.
Because the fact that he said that they are, like, those are the top mods on Skyrim Nexus, like, first of all, how did I not see that? And secondly, ew.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like,
we talked about one of the last few shows about Steam has way, you know, dialed back their kind of content regulations. We're going to see more of them. I saw a story that the first, like, straight up porn game was approved on Steam. I don't remember what it was, but some Japanese anime looking game. I imagine there's already been, like, if you go through and just look at the new releases, there's already a bunch of stuff that you're like, oh, guys are buying this because it's, like, scantily clad Japanese characters. Now it's just going to be full on naked Japanese characters, which, I mean, by all means, if that's your thing, God bless you. I'm not going to judge. So by all means, if that's what you need, if you need the British version of Skyrim, which I'm still fascinated by this guy saying that the British version of Skyrim has all this nudity, by all means, whatever you got to do, guys, whatever you got to do.
He did. He was adamant about it. Like, you got to have that British version, man, because it doesn't have the restrictions of the American, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, is there some S&M in Skyrim that I'm not aware of? Like, what is that? And the fact that he, you know, this is a guy that's my dad's age. And I'm like, that's just...
And it's like, just straight up, like, matter of fact. Like, yep, this is what I need.
Yep.
Cool, man.
Yeah. And of course, you're trying to keep a straight face because you're in a retail store. You know, like, you can't just start laughing at the guy straight out. But I'm so glad that the secretary that we had is actually out, because she just had twins. And I'm so glad she wasn't there, because that guy would have put her through the roof. That it's just the life of working at a retail store, ladies and gentlemen.
Fair enough. All that being said, we need to wrap up. But that was well worth it. I appreciated that story. That was a good time. So,
well, you know, I had to put some comedy in there somewhere.
Right. It was depressing otherwise.
Yeah.
That was good. So. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do that lots of different ways. The Facebook page, email gaminguncensored@gmail.com, Twitter @podcastgu, the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
We need segments always. We will catch up on segments next week. We had one from Cabbage as well, but we talked about it on the roundtable, so we probably won't. By the way, that topic is interesting too, one we'll have to get back to at some point when more Cyberpunk news comes out. I'm excited to kind of rehash that discussion that we had on the roundtable. So, but get a hold of us. We'd love to chat with you. Go by the website, gamingandcensored.com. Support us on Patreon. All that good stuff.
And for those of you that are supporting us on Patreon going, holy crap, when do I get content? I'm coming to Tommy's, and I swear to you, we will make up for it.
Yes.
I swear. Like, I sorted through my video today, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I just don't have time to edit. Because I can either edit or I can play more games. And I want to play more games.
Yep.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to keep that video. I think what I'm going to do is put up episode one of Life is Strange. Because that'll be fairly easy to do. To put up before the storm. I may put that up this week. And I may keep everything else in the holster. Because I got like 6 hours of Fallout 4. Which I don't want to edit. Like, I should just put it up. Like, I should just put it in one file and put it up. And then you guys will never ask me to do that again. But yeah, we're going to make up for the lack of Patreon content.
Yes.
Here in a couple of weeks, we hope.
Yes. That's the plan.
So... Which I had no idea what we're doing, so that'll be interesting.
Right.
Like, we're going to make up content, but we don't know how. So, with all that being said, we got to get out of here. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for another week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.